This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 165, The Man with the Golden Gun from 1974. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys. Well, first of all, I cannot say how long has it been because Nate has not seen any of these movies going forward. So we're just going to skip over all that and just going to go straight into the Rotten Tomatoes scores for The Man with the Golden Gun from 1974. Nate, what is it?
Well, not great. This is a critic score is a 39% and the audience score is a 55%. So they are both under the fresh threshold, you know, not best. These are lower than the last movie. I know that Live and Let Die had higher reviews than this. I mean, I can't wait to talk about this movie, to be honest with you.
I could see why the other one was more faster paced. This one's slower paced of a film. So that I could see it was, I already know you're going to hate the movie, but because while watching it, I already knew you were going to hate it halfway through. I was like, this is going to shit all over the whole movie.
Maybe I loved it.
Oh, no, you did not. I already know you watching these Bond movies. Like, this dude's gonna shit on it. But no, but I could see why those numbers are super low across the boards. I mean, you said a 30 for the critics?
39.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, though. And then you have a legendary character as Christopher Lee, right, in the movie. But anyway, with that said, all right, so let's get right into the opening sequence. Yeah. So the song, The Man with the Golden Gun, was sang by Lulu. I hope I said it right.
It is Lulu. Yeah, I thought it was Lulu. Olivia Newton-John, and then the name comes up and it's Lulu. Like, who the hell is Lulu? Nate, I don't know who this is.
What did you think?
I knew that I might be in for trouble with this movie based off of this opening song and credits, because they're pretty lame. The song, I told my brother, he came out when I was watching the movie a few times, and he's like, what are you watching? And I was just like, oh, this is a Bond movie. And I told him, I was like, I already forgot the opening song. I already don't remember how it goes. I know one of the lyrics is that she says the man with the golden gun, but you're coming off of Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney. That was awesome and big and memorable. And like, I know it. I had never even seen that movie, and I knew that song. This one, I actually saw it, and I already forgot how it goes. So the song is bad. I don't think it's a good song. They don't incorporate it in the movie the way they did Live and Let Die at all. And the opening credits is, I think you're going to agree, it's very bland. It's nothing. It's just like water droplets and water and like vision, like blurry girls. That, like, literally, that's it. It doesn't have like really say much about the movie. You remember, like, even I keep comparing it to the last movie because this is the Roger Moore era, you know? So it was awesome. You had like these voodoo people and all this scary imagery and snakes and fire. And and this was literally just water and people. I'm going to give the song like a, I don't remember. I give it like a 2. I don't think it was like it didn't hurt my ears or anything, but I give the opening credits a 1. I'm going to give it a 1.5 total. Just split the difference. Honestly, maybe of all the Bond movies we've watched, I think it's the worst one I've seen so far. It's lazy and not memorable.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the song, I mean, I thought the song was okay, to be honest with you. It was very 70s, though. I mean, it was Matt Austin Powers galore. But, I mean, you could hum the melody. I really don't know Man with the Golden Gun. I could hum the damn thing, but I honestly don't know none of the lyrics from there. The visuals of the video itself, man, I mean, first of all, I keep telling everyone, it's naked women behind silhouettes. I mean, through all 25 movies, it's all naked women. So that's all you're seeing, and you could see it. And this one is more clear because you can see nipples like through the silhouette. But I was lost. I was like, it's very 70s, but color.
What does this have to do with color, anything?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with anything. To be honest with you, the song itself was kind of boring at times. They did have the song in the movie, though, in a few parts when he's getting into the car.
Maybe because I forgot how it went. Yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I could figure that, because Live and Let Die is very, you could tell the bin in it, bin in it. So you could hear that. Yeah. So look, with that said, I gave it a 3. I thought it was good. It's not great, and it's definitely not perfect. But okay, so let's get right into the lead characters now. Roger Moore as, now the second time, as 007. Neat.
Already dropping the ball. Only second time in. For me, I think he was good. I gave him a 4 in the first movie. Besides you being absolutely correct about his accent just being flawless, like that is a English accent, perfect, very, you know, very British sounding. I didn't like him in this. I didn't like him. He, first of all, his acting took a step back. Like, there's a lot of scenes where the acting wasn't good. And it could be because of the script, you know, that they were trying, you know, they were, the last movie, there was humor. But here, it was like even more, they tried to like lean into like comedy. And it just, it didn't work for me. Two, James Bond was, he was really boring in this one. Like, he was really bland. I didn't like the character. He had no, there's no like, maybe I'm spoiled because the Bond movies I grew up, or not grew up, but like watched are the Craig movies, where he really has an arc and grows and changes. Like, there's nothing in this movie that is gonna, is different from the last movie or gonna make him different in the next movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only that, he was like kind of a prick. The scene with the kid on the boat, I'm like, like, the kid is like wants him to buy the elephant, and he tells him he'll give him 20,000 baht if he can make the boat go faster, and the kid does it, and he throws him off the boat. He just chucks him off the boat. Now, for one, you could say, well, maybe he was trying to protect him from the, okay, sure, but there's no way he went back and gave that kid any money. That was dirty. That kid is like a little starving homeless kid, and he did James Bond a favor, and he chucks him. I didn't like it. Him with the women in this one, he's like smacking ladies. He was, I'm like, what is, I gave him a 2. I really didn't like him in this movie. I didn't like Bond. I didn't find him interesting. I hate his fighting. I hate the fighting scenes with him. They're horrible. So I give him a 2.
All right. Well, then if those are your critiques, then you're going to give him a 2 through every movie because it's your,
is how he plays it.
Yeah. It's not, well, first of all, you got to realize, yeah, you're getting used to, you're already used to the newer modern Bonds with the actual fighting sequences and everything.
4 last movie.
Yeah, but those fightings wasn't as long. It was just a short. This one he had more longer. And then the more movies that's going, it's going to be more.
Okay, the fighting generally won't count my score too much.
No.
Adding that in on top of a cherry on top.
Right.
The fighting was also bad.
Yeah. I'm just saying right now, if this is a 2, it's going to be a 2 for a long time because, honestly, I gave him a 3. I thought he was good. Again, different director, different writers. Each movie is going to be a different feel to the Bonds because, again, you're used to an arc Bond between the Daniel Craig's going from Casino Royale all the way to No Time to Die. You are getting no arc. None of this from Dr. No all the way up to LeBron. There is no connecting stories. Now, you do get a connecting villains and other like cameo from like Felix Leiter or whatever. But in terms of a story arc, there's not much like in terms of that. So in terms of Bond arc, never going to work. But look, for me, I do agree. Roger Moore in this movie, I felt like the director didn't utilize his acting in this movie as much. I don't know if it's because of the 70s or whatever that year of filming, how the language and everything was, because honestly, was he good? No, he was not. It felt he was very lazy at times in some scenes. Him slapping up the women, again, 70s, and you're going to see it throughout a lot of other movies, Bond doing it. Again, he's an assassin, and he has to get the information somehow. So you got to slap somebody up.
Women.
He has to. But I don't know. I mean, Craig did slap up a woman, too, in his arc. But not like this. He was like, I'll break your arm.
Yeah, he was like,
you don't tell me.
Beating her up. I was like, oh, my gosh.
But anyway, look, in terms of that, was Roger Moore perfect in the second one? Absolutely not. I do agree with you. The first one, Live and Let Die, he was better because I think it was a more serious movie, where this one does not feel as serious. So with that, I gave him a 3. Good. I enjoy him. I think, like I said, I enjoy his British accent. I think that's why I'm like into him, and his charm is really good. Especially when he's in the, when he gets the bullet from the girl, he has that charm there. Yeah.
With that said, if this is what we're getting, he might be my least favorite Bond. It might be. Maybe he is. Someone got to be, right? I mean, one of them, they can't all be my favorite. Yeah, so,
I mean,
someone got to be it.
You never know.
Might be my man Roger. Maybe I'll like him in the next one. I don't know. I didn't like him in this one. But
yeah, I mean, you never know because there are legendary films with him. I think The Spy Who Loved Me is a big one for him. You Only Live Twice is another big one in his resume. A View to a Kill is my joint. But let's
go in, you know, open mind, open heart every single
time. All right. Oh, here we go. Main villain, Christopher Lee as my man Scaramanga.
Yeah. So this was much better. He was much better than Roger Moore in this movie. He should have been James Bond. He was better. I liked him. Now, my man's got 3 nipples. That was kind of weird. I'm like, what is this? Just the opening of the movie. Like, they zoom in on his chest so they can show his three nipples. I'm like, okay. And this movie had a lot of weird stuff. I guess we'll get to it in storyline. But anyway, he was smooth. He was suave. He had an island, you know? He was an assassin. Now, how did he get so rich? I have no freaking idea, but whatever. He's stupid rich. And he is, his ultimate, you know, plot is he's making like solar energy, but without like the sun, pretty much. It's like manufactured solar power that he's going to sell and, you know, whatever. The villain always has some big master plan.
Yeah.
Last movie, it was all like heroin. And this movie, it was the solar power. So that being said, I gotta save that too. He was cool. I liked him. I like his little gun. It only holds one bullet. It's, you know, he hits everybody in the face. So it's great. They die right away. One shot kills, just like GoldenEye, the game on N64. One shot kills with the golden gun. He was cool. He got a little midget manservant named Knick-Knack. That was pretty funny. But I mean, just, he was a good villain. I liked him. I honestly liked him as much as the last villain. I don't think he was like, he's also not in it a ton. There's like long stretches where he's not there. And then he like comes at the end. And I do think Bond killed him a little too easy. And he killed him like with like still 10, 12 minutes left in the movie. Like they were still doing all this. I feel like it would have been cool if he was still there kind of, you know, messing with them. But either way, I give him a 4. I think he's strong, but not like not super iconic. I'm waiting for like, you know, like an iconic villain. I don't think he's that, but I think he's very, very good. I liked him. I give him a 4.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Christopher Lee as Scaramanga, I give him a 5. He fit the criteria of every Bond villain. He had a master plan. Did it work? Maybe not. But he fought Bond, not hand to hand, but he's a circus freak. That's why he has a third nipple. He's a professional assassin. And the reason why he has an island is because he said that he does favors for the government. So they gave him a free island rent free. So,
There you go.
Yeah. So basically, he's just a straight up an assassin. I mean, you say his name, people shook in their boots in the movie.
Yeah.
So Christopher Lee was really good. I mean, he assassinated mad people from the distance. I mean, this dude was shooting all over the place. And I like that. Now, the golden gun itself is very iconic. In any of the Bond stuff, which I would love to have in my collection of props, is the man with the golden gun. Very expensive to get, even the replica. And I'm like, son of a bitch, but I will get it one day. But yeah, so Christopher Lee against James Bond, I do agree with you. The scene was way too fast.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of obvious that you knew he was going to become the mannequin to kill him, which I was like, that's so dumb. I wish what happened was he turned into the cowboy that came out the door and killed him. Because I was like, that would have been more obvious. He looked like the cowboy, too. Like, if you really looked at it, I was like, okay, look like the cowboy. But him, you're right. He killed him super fast for an assassin that, I mean, but he did play him
in his home court.
Yeah.
He was in his home court.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like his fun house. He should know every nook and cranny. You know?
No, I agree with you. My only gripe was where the hell did he get a loaded gun when he dropped it before he put on the suit? Like, he did not have a second gun. He dropped it. He disappeared. And next thing you know, he kills him.
And all those other guns in the funhouse were clearly fake because they were just shooting blanks when they shoot at, you know, the cowboy and stuff. So it's not like you could take it from one of them.
Yeah, I think they screwed up and edit wrong or something happened there, but it did not work for me. But anyway, Christopher Lee, I thought he's up there with villains in terms of the Bond lore. So I gave him a 5. Action scenes.
Not good. Not good. Now, I will say, I was at a 2. I was at a 2 with the action scenes until the car chase. The car chase was pretty good, honestly. I think, you know, obviously 70s film, so they got to use real cars and crash real cars. And I was at a 2 because what did we have? Another boat chase. Thankfully, this one was way shorter. But still, a boat chase, some of the worst martial arts fighting. Now, this is 74?
74.
Okay, so this is like after Bruce Lee films. Now, I'm guessing they saw the Bruce Lee films with that little inside information our buddy Jay gave us. And they were like, maybe this is a trend, you know, these martial arts films from Hong Kong. But whoever directed this doesn't make those kind of movies because it's bad. It's all bad. The fighting is bad. So I didn't like that. It's there, so I'm not going to give it like a 1, but it wasn't good. But the car chase was legit good. I have it. I'm going to leave it at a 3, but I had it at a 2. Then I raised it to a 3, and then I almost lowered it back to a 2 when he does that spin in the car, and then it goes the sound effect like, it does like this like cartoon sound effect. And I'm like, why would you put that in there? Like, it makes it like it's a cartoon for children, honestly. Like, excuse me. It was so stupid. That annoying J.W. Pepper guy was back. Why? He's so annoying. I don't like him. He better not be in the... He don't say anything, but he better not be in the next one. I will give the action an automatic minus point just for him being in the movie. But anyway, it's okay. It was okay. You know, the car chase was cool. That's it. Really, the rest of it's the final, like we just talked about, anticlimactic. You know, they have this duel. They're pacing off. They're counting. James Bond turns around and he's not even there. And then he got to go through the funhouse, which we saw at the beginning already. So it's like a repeat of something that already happened. I don't know. The action's not that strong in this movie. I gave it a 3.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.5. I totally forgot the sequences rewatching them. But the reason why I gave it a 0.5 more is because I did like where Scaramanga's car turned into a plane and he escaped.
That was goofy.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool when you see the actual car. Like how they put the, and I was like, yo, that's actually pretty cool. The only thing I didn't give him much points because Bond did not have no gadgets in this movie.
Zero.
He used nothing in this movie at all. And I think that's the reason, other reason why the scores were low. Because everyone knows Bond for gadgets, regardless if it's like a one piece, like his watch doing something. This movie had nothing except Scaramanga. My man's car turned into a plane, which I was like, that's cool. And I was like, that is actually cool. I was like, wow. But you're right. The car scene, I liked a lot. It was very well. And I love 70s and 80s car scenes because they drive so awesome. You can see them wobbling, but they still focusing. And I was like, that's cool. The flip, I like the flip.
That part ruins it.
That destroyed it for me.
Yeah.
J.W. Pepper, my dude, bro. I'm a dude. Oh, he did get annoying, though, to be honest. They just added him, and I think that's another reason why the critic score dropped. That was did not work for me there. The boat chase scene did not work for me at all. I did not like the boat. I thought it was just so bland and lazy boat chase. We're going to get more boats throughout the other.
The dudes were chasing him on foot while he was in a boat.
That's when you know he's fucking lazy.
Like, escape them.
Yeah. You know it's lazy. That was horrible. I did not like the karate fighting, and then he throws himself out the window. I was like,
made me laugh.
I was like,
he bows really fast and then like jumps.
Yeah, jumps out the window. That did not work for me at all. I was like, I was like, first of all, how did you know if there was no water on the other side, a cliff? You just threw yourself right out the window. Yeah. And then miraculously his friend shows up. James, I was looking for you. Spot. And I was just like, that don't work.
Karate girls.
Yeah. And again, when we were laughing at the beginning, when he was like, did I tell you? And they're fighting. He's like, their father's monster, Kung Fu Master. And I was like, what is this?
Right.
It did not work. Bond fighting in the beginning for the bullet, and he swallows it, and he's fighting those guys in the room is one of the worst scenes ever. He kicks a guy on the side, and the guy flew, and I said, I can't.
I remember, it was bad.
It was not good.
It just looks like, I could choreograph that fight just the same.
It was bad. I'm not going to lie. It was lazy all over the place in terms of the action scenes. Again, the most iconic part of the movie is the car flipping to the other side. That's what that one is known for.
That was a great stunt. It's just the sound effect that almost made me lower it, but I'll leave it because it was a cool stunt.
Yeah. So with that said, look, I gave it a 3.5. All right. Storyline.
Oh, Lord. Another 2. I got another 2. First of all, this is the second straight movie. I think the last one was better, but this is the second straight movie where, like, I'm constantly like, what is going on? Why is he in this karate school? And okay, if you watch it moment to moment, like, you see why he gets there, but the reasoning is like, it's always kind of vague. It's not super clear as to what he's doing and when he's doing it and why he's doing it. You know what I mean? Like, even the beginning, he's on a... The guy, M calls him in and he's like, we're going to take you off the other mission and we're going to take you off of that. And then kind of like basically alludes to him like, go do it on your own pretty much. But then they still help him. He goes in the crooked boat, in the sideways boat thing, and they still help him. And I'm like, well, they told him basically he's like off books, but really he's not off books. They're still helping him. The Chinese cop is helping him. The Kung Fu school scene is just, I did laugh. But I laugh because it's so ridiculous. Like, he's sitting there in the gi, and the girls all come over to him, and they're, like, fanning him or whatever. And then it's like, what is this? What is happening? And I don't know. And it meanders. You're right. It's very slow. One thing I pointed out to my brother, too, is, like, everything that happens in the longest way possible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is, like, fast. Everything... Like, even the last explosion, they get on this pirate ship. They find this, like, pirate ship. They go in. The island blows up. And it takes, like, 5 minutes for this island to blow up. I'm like, why do they keep cutting back to the island blow? Like, we get it. It blew up. Move on to the next part. And then they cut back to the boat. And then they cut back to the explosion. And they cut back to the boat. And they cut. And it happens, like, but every scene is like that in this movie. Like, they, everything takes forever to happen. So, really, this movie's only, like, an hour long. But it's 2 hours because everything is so drawn out and long for no reason. I didn't like it. I thought the villain was cool, okay? And even, like, with your explanation, I didn't catch the government part. That's cool. I like him. It's just, like, all the Bond stuff just wasn't... I feel like he's never really solving anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Roger Moore, so far, two movies, it never feels like he's really solving anything. He just sort of goes places, stuff happens, and then he bumps into the villain. So... for me, this one's a 2.
I agree with you. I gave it a 2 also. It did not work for me at all. I'm going to be 100% honest with everybody. Halfway through the movie, I just shut my brain off. I was like, I can't. And it was just bad. It was bad. Like, at least with Live and Let Die, the story took me along the journey. Like, we already knew Solitaire was in love with him and she can't focus. And you're like, oh, is he going to kill her? Like, you had all this in your mind. Yeah. This movie, honestly, besides Christopher Lee... I was like, okay, great. Like, he's that badass. And he's with, you know, that girl, his woman lover or whatever that he kills. And yeah. I was like, oh, cool. We didn't get to see that scene. She's just sitting there, which I was like, okay.
Yeah, just dead.
I just felt like the storyline was just bland. Like, it was just bland. Like, it was just like, we really don't know what to do. We're giving you a second movie for... And dude, to be honest with you, Live and Let Die came out in 1973. This was a year later. So you already knew. That means they did not know what the hell they were doing. They were just like, we're just going to cash
out. This one is actually the same director as the last movie, the Guy Hamilton. Maybe they did them like really close together. They brought the same crew back, but it was just like, they just threw it together. I don't know.
It had to be because, man, let me just tell you, there's a day and night between the first one that he did and this one. This one's just straight lazy. Like, I was bored. Like, the movie was just so, it was just so long and drawn out. And I was just like, yo, this is boring. Like, my wife fell asleep halfway. She was like, man, she goes, I can't. I was like, go to bed.
I was dozing off at the beginning. And then I had to, like, sit up because I was like, if I keep laying down, I'm going to fall asleep. This movie, nothing's happening.
No, the beginning got me intrigued. Like, rewatching it, the beginning was cool. I was like, oh, all right. Yep. When the assassin shot Al Capone, he's like, hey, yo.
The cold open was cool.
I liked it because it set up the whole thing. But other than that, once it went into the thing, he went into the office and he's talking, oh, Scaramanga, he has a third nipple. And I was like,
three nipples.
Yeah.
I know all about him.
I was like, oh, come on, man. I was like, at least they show Q. We got to see Q. We saw the camera doing the camera missile that blew up. And I was like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty cool. But he didn't even give him a gadget. He was like,
Dumb that the Q is in this? He wasn't in the last one, but he was in this one. But in the last movie, he had gadgets, and this movie has no gadgets. No. It doesn't even make sense. It boggles the mind.
Yeah, and they, you know, and that led to them going to the weapon master that came up with the golden bullets for the golden gun. So I was like, okay, you know, whatever. And I thought that was actually a pretty cool scene, though, when the weapon expert came up and was like, oh, 007. Like, he got mad excited. He goes, can I make you a weapon? And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, it'll be an honor. And I was like, I like stuff like that. Like his, I mean, look, 007 doesn't give it. My man is such a badass that he tells everyone who he is. He tells every bad guy.
Use a fake name.
No, it's not a use fake names, bro. I'm Bond, James Bond, bitches. You're going to know who I am. I loved it. That's why I love the scene in Casino Royale when he went under the other name and he was like, my name is B under Bond. And Vesper got pissed off. And he goes, look, he already knows if he looks at the background. And I was like, that's what I like. Stuff like that. But anyway, I gave it a 2. I thought it was not a good storyline at all. I just thought it was boring and bland overall.
Yeah, I didn't like this movie. The only good thing about it was Christopher Lee's performance. Knick Knack was pretty funny, too. He had a couple funny moments. He's throwing the bottles. That was pretty funny.
Oh, that was hilarious. Chucking
bottles at him. He hides it. He like rolls under the couch.
He put him in the briefcase.
He rolls under the couch. And then all of a sudden, he's not under there anymore. He's like, he did a magic trick and ran around the other room. Like,
kicked him.
Yeah, it was funny. I laughed. But I hate that J.W. Pepper guy. I don't like. Oh, and the Bond girl in this. The
Knight.
What was her name? Knight. Yeah, Knight. Whatever.
Yeah.
Her acting was bad. Jane Seymour was great. Okay. Well, not only was she gorgeous, she was good in the role. This lady, she was pretty, but her acting was bad. It was not good. The other, the villainous kind of woman, the one he slaps around, she was better. But
she becomes Octopussy.
Okay. Well, she her acting was better, but you know she's not the main kind of girl. Acting questionable, storyline not good, action not good, cool villain. Bond for me in this one, not good. It wasn't a good time. I give it a 2. I didn't really enjoy this one. And to be fair, from what I know of the like this era, nothing I saw surprised me. I feel like they're going to be hit or miss for me. Honestly, this one was a miss. The last one was a little more of a hit for me. This one, more of a miss. So 2 for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Her name is Mary Goodnight.
Mary Goodnight. That's it. Yeah. She was, her acting was bad.
No, but she was gorgeous. I'm not going to lie. Very she was gorgeous. Very gorgeous. But yeah, that scene. Tell me that scene was not creepy with the black guy looking at her.
Oh, yeah. And he like
he's rubbing her
face. And he like touches her shoulder. I'm like,
I was like, yo, I feel kind of creeped out.
Between that and the other part that was creepy was when James Bond was fighting the sumo wrestler and just reaches his hands down and grabs his ass cheeks. And that was his big escape. I'm like, what am I watching? Cheeks. Yeah, what do you got me watching? Then he twists his little belt to free himself. And I was like,
yeah, that was really bad.
That earned it a 2 right there.
I gave this movie a 2.5. Christopher Lee for me was the highlight of this movie. I like Nick Knack a lot. I always liked their henchmen. One thing is, if you have a good villain, like the good mastermind villain, it always has to come down to the henchmen. How are the henchmen? And I like Nick Knack. He was cool, yeah. Mr. Scaramanga. Like, he was mad funny. And when he was eating the peanut, when he had that little ass gun, he's eating the peanut in the fight, I was rolling. I was like,
if he dies, oh, this is mine.
Yeah.
Mine.
He's like, come on, monsieur. Come on, monsieur.
Yeah, it's so funny, bro.
Like, I liked Nick Knack. I was like, oh, man, he's cool. I wish they brought Nick Knack back, but they didn't. Mary Goodnight, like I said, she was pretty annoying, horrible actress. Q was good, but again, it was not that long of a scene. It was just super small, and it was kind of useless because they had another guy looking at the bullet. So it was like it wasn't even Q that was doing most of the stuff. So they just pay him. Yeah, it was G. Yeah. Other than that, like I said, lame story. Roger Moore, he was decent. Scaramanga was the man, but again, 2.5. Couldn't raise it up. All right, total points.
It's a 13 out of 25 for me. 13. Didn't love it. Probably won't watch it again anytime soon, if ever. But glad I watched it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah, for me, this is a 16 flat. So honestly, it's a here and miss. But the 4K on this movie was really well on Amazon.
Yeah.
If you guys check it out, it's free on Amazon. They own the rights, so it's kind of free. 4K version of Man Golden Gun. It's not on physical, but you can get it digital. So I was happy with that. All right, Nate, what is coming up next?
All right. So that is our next Bond film. Now, next episode, we are continuing through the 2000s with, as voted on by you guys, a movie called V for Vendetta. We'll be reviewing that. And then, of course, next week, continuing with the Roger Moore Bond films, the next one is one called The Spy Who Loved Me. So that is the next one. I know you just mentioned that it was one of his better ones. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the jury's out on Roger Moore. Sure, I didn't like him on this one. We'll give him another try. Well, we got to give him 5 more tries. We'll give him 5 more tries and we'll see how it goes. But that's the next one as far as the Bond movies go.
All right, guys, so you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to YouTube.com/GeeksAndFlicks for the video versions of the podcast, or go to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com where we have all the podcasts there for you, nicely organized for your liking, whether it's audio or the video version of the podcast. We have merch. And of course, you could join the Patreon also and watch the behind the scenes of us filming the actual podcast. So all you have to do is go to www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.